Blog Talk Radio.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville-Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag at 2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. So you're not defined by your pain, so let it go.
Love it.
You're not a victim.
Oh, it's your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. You heard the advertisement relative to our school concept and model. You're listening to Talk Straight, sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute. For the last almost 5 years now, that's what we've been working toward, is substantive conversation that will go toward building young character in a positive way, addressing social ills facing families and neighborhoods and communities. I'd like you to join us tonight, 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. If you're listening to us on Facebook, having some issues with that feed and with ability to share that, but nonetheless, we press on. Or if you listen to us, if you listen to us Facebook Live, give us a call, 657-383-0944. If you're listening to us from the podcast platform, blogtalkradio.com, feel free to just use the number there. Again, 657-383-0944. Welcome this, October 5th, 2021. Time is moving. There are many people in society who maintain continuity in their lives. As they face challenges and setbacks, some people view their struggle as being humorous or entertaining. But much like the entertainer in the circus arena, those individuals who struggle, they just go on, they grin, and they bear it, right? They grin and bear the pain, the frustration, the humiliation. And when the crowd is gone, though, there's nobody else to look at them, to observe them, the lights are turned off and curtains are closed. Question is, who will be there for that dedicated soul who struggled? Join me tonight as we talk from the topic, My Life is No Joke. It's for real. My life is no joke. It's for real. It is interesting how, depending on where you are and who you're talking to, some people find it, as I alluded to earlier, entertaining to watch others as they struggle to figure out aspects of life and maintain themselves as adults and even to provide for their family and their children. And some castigate them to the peripheries of society and say, if you don't know by now, then never mind, forget about it, you see. But there is a element of concern. There's an element of responsibility, I am convinced, on part of all of us to, at the very least, have a kind word, an encouraging, a motivating, an inspiring word for others, to uplift them and to get them to a point where find inspiration, right? And when you speak to them, you can speak hope into their circumstance. Tonight, our topic again is My Life is No Joke. It's for real. That's what we're talking about on this October 5th, 2021. And we have our monologue that we'll go get through. I'd like to encourage you to give us a call here if you're listening to us. 657-383-0944. I hope Pastor Waller will be able to join us here shortly, and perhaps regular callers. But we'll keep going. We endeavor to go through the two-hour span tonight. And let me just make this announcement. Quite likely we'll just have a repeat show on Thursday. We'll have some other – I'll be traveling, and we don't have anyone set up this week to fit in for us, so we'll have a repeat show that will be posted on Thursday, and we'll try to get a good one. It's an oldie but a good one, so that you can hear that show and reflect on it, okay? All right, but tonight we live, and we're speaking from the topic, My Life is No Joke. It's for real. It's for real. Text in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, and for the sake of our discussion tonight, we'll focus our attention on verses 1 through 3. It is apropos to the discussion that we have. It says very simply in the King James Version of the Bible, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Verse 2 says, a time to be born, a time to die, time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Verse 3 lastly says, a time to kill and a time to heal, time to break down and a time to build up. We'll stop right there. Really, if you want to get the full grasp of the text, read through the first 8 verses of that chapter, and you'll get the real deal. But we'll stop there tonight. And from those 3 verses, what we see is there are specific events in life that come in a timely fashion. Now, some would argue that trouble often is untimely, unexpected, unwanted. But believe it or not, there is something that we can learn, and it is a part of our regular life, regardless of what anybody else think about how I look or how you look as you go through that. Some people are able to keep up with others. Others are not. Some have been prepared, and others have not. Right? Those are factors. I get that. So what I want to talk about just for a few minutes is essentially the lifespan. And we'll look at the behavioral psychologist Abraham Maslow and one of his concepts of self-actualization. I think that ties into where we are today and on this October 5th, 2021. They are good people who were struggling before COVID. And because of the unintended consequences of shutdowns and restructuring of lives and slowing people, literally slowing people's lives down, it thrown them off because they were already struggling for this. And now they find themselves, here we are in the 10th month of 2021, and it's still a struggle for them to get back on track, on pace. I'm not talking about children now, beloved. I'm talking about chronological adults. So just imagine where the children are. See. All right? And there are other factors here. But let's look at, you read the text in Ecclesiastes about time to be born in particular. And one of these days, Job told us, right, if you're born of a woman, you only have a few days, and you're full of trouble. Then one day we got to go here. We got to leave it. But look at the lifespan. Look at the lifespan of an individual, human in general. The human lifespan, when we talk about it, there is an emphasis on the idea that the human development is a lifelong process, you see. And that process involves change from the time we were born until the time we die. That you're constantly evolving, right? You're getting older. You were young and spry at one point. Time has, and gravity has weighted you down. And one day we got to give up the ghost. We got to leave there. When we talk about the lifespan, we are talking about developmental change that oftentimes is multidimensional. You see, it's not always simple and easy, as well as it can be multidirectional. It can take you in different directions. You see, and this multidimensional, multidirectional impact, influence involves growth and decline. The best of us are able to keep up the norms in society and the standards and so forth and so on, those norms that are general for everyone. And then others have a difficulty in addressing and managing and balancing the multidimensional and directional impacts within their lifespan. I would argue this is because at a critical point in their growth, early growth and development, for whatever reason, there was not a focused direction on preparing them for that. You see, that's what parents do. That's why it's a huge responsibility to be a parent, because we literally set the stage for our children's lives and their lifespan. What we do with them at an early age, from the time they're born until the time they become big enough to venture out on their own, has a significant impact on the quality of life they have, no matter where they are in the world. Right? Lastly, when we talk about the lifespan, we talk about this fluidity or flexibility that is required. Sometimes people are not able to adjust to new challenges and new cycles, new changes, and they're stuck. In fact, you see a lot of people psychosocially stuck in a certain era of time, and they complain about things that happened 40 and 50 years ago because they never really matured from those experiences and moved beyond them. That's where they're stuck. You can hear it in their conversation. See? And sadly, what happens is they pass the negative vibes and mentalities and ideas that they had 30, 40 years ago onto young folk, as if they want them to relive that same experience. But as I said, the life cycle is intended to be progressive, to move on, not for one to be stuck in one place, but for us to learn from those experiences, various cycles, build on them, and go beyond, move beyond them. And this kind of goes into the concept of self-actualization that I want to speak of, as I just mentioned to you. Abraham Maslow, he's the behaviorist. Now, I know a lot of people dismiss it. Particularly, I've heard a lot of my people, African Americans, question the validity of it. But I want you to just consider it for a second tonight. I tend to agree that there are some things that can be learned that can be beneficial by this concept. Now, it's up to you to take it again and be flexible, right, and to take it in whatever dimension or whatever direction you need to go in, right? Nobody's saying that consider it, all right? That's what we ask you to do. So we're talking about this lifespan of a person. Now, let me just back up and say, you notice I didn't say a black person. I didn't say an Asian person. I didn't say a Hispanic person. I didn't say a white person, a European, a Caucasian. But person in general. And regardless of what your ethnicity is and your subcultural context is, you still have a lifespan from birth to the time you leave here. Sadly, too many young folk around urban America, their lifespan ends before they really get out the gate because of some circumstance. An inability, sadly, for not only them, but their primary voices of authority or influence, their parents, their guardians, to be able to set them on a course to where they can avoid that early demise. And that's really the nature of it. And listen, when you see people in that situation, their life is not a joke. It may look like a joke to some people. It may sometimes, the things they say and do make you want to laugh to keep from crying. Some people find it surely entertaining. In fact, these live TV shows are really profiting off of that. Bunch of foolishness. Things that are backwards. But nonetheless, that's where we are here in October of 2021. We're about to go in 2022. I would hope that we can change. We can move in a more proactive, productive direction. But that's another conversation. I digress. Self-actualization. So, as I mentioned, the behavioralist Maslow, Abraham Maslow, he offered this theory of self-actualization, and it is the concept regarding a process. They're similar to what we've talked about in the lifespan, right? But this process is focused on the individual's ability to reach his or her potential. And I'm going to stop right there for a second. What Maslow is talking about is how one has the ability or the lack of the ability to reach their fullest potential. Well, how do you know what a person's potential is? How do you know what I'm supposed to do? And there are some people that get up every day, and I don't mean this demeaning, but it's the truth. They get up every day and they don't have a clue as to what to do with themselves, where they should be, what it is they should be mastering or being exposed to, any of those things. This is how a person can stand on the block, on a corner, in a particular urban area all day, and it not bother them. They only go to sleep, go in, they go to sleep, to get up and come right back out, standing in the same spot. No sense of direction, no aspiration for anything to, no potential. What we want to do is to encourage individuals to realize that you have potential. Now, you're not there, that's why it's potential. But if you work towards certain things, you can. What Maslow is saying is that in this process of reaching that potential, that fullest opportunity, that there are some things that are important. Now, basically, in this concept, we have this hierarchy of needs, as it says. And I'm just going to summarize it a little bit in this pyramid that he uses to describe it. And on the very bottom of the pyramid he talks about this broad experience of basic needs done from birth. Somebody needs to feed you. Somebody needs to clothe you. Somebody needs to pick you up and carry you from place to place until such time you make it on your own, start walking or running. Ideally, our public schools are designed, or even private schools. But really, it's the parents' responsibility to ensure that in this process of developing these basic needs, that children have the resources, the exposure, the knowledge that they need to take them to the next level, such that they're not socially retarded by the time they get 18, 19 years old. Now, ironically, people assume that when a children turn 18, they should be at the house. Just because of hitting that magic number of 18, the 18th birthday. But if they're ill-prepared, and what we see quite often, they're functioning on a level below their chronological age, emotionally, socially, they have a tendency to get set up for failure in society. And that's one of the things we want to look at. So Margot's talking about reaching this potential. Talk about the nine characteristics that are generally associated with individual self-actualization. And then we'll open up our phone lines here. Well, you're listening to Talk Straight, and we're talking from the topic, My Life is No Joke. It's for real. When you see some of the things we see on the streets and the news and what have you, yes, it may make you want to crack a smile or laugh, but that's for real. And when people tell you about themselves, believe what they tell you. Trust them. Trust them. So the first thing is, in this theory of self-actualization, people have added to Maslow's theory, basically. And generally, it's believed in the psychology and the studies and practice of it that self-actualized people have what's called a peak experience, a point where they're on top of their game. Right? And they know they're there. How do they know that, Doctor? Well, they set goals for themselves, short-term and long-term. And they had activities that they committed themselves to, processes that they commit themselves to, such that they knew that if they continued that, they will reach a certain point or period. Right? In other words, people who have careers in various fields and what have you, they've studied and they've worked and they've mastered that, and they have developed a sure, ironclad plan to maintain a certain quality of life economically, socially, politically, spiritually. They got a peak experience. People that are self-actualized, they experience that. Now, it should be said that everybody doesn't. There's some people who really don't. They're unfulfilled. They're unhappy. Okay, I get that. But we talk about what happened when you self-actualize. Then self-actualized people possess what's called self-acceptance. And they have a self-governing worldview. In other words, I'm going to accept who I am, where I am, and what I'm capable of doing. And I'm not going to assume that somebody else has to take responsibility for me, but everybody has responsibility for themselves universally. Okay? Self-actualized people know how and when to be realistic about where they are and what is real and what is not real for them. Now, a lot of good people, again, have not been prepared for this, and that's really what I hope we'll talk about tonight. Is how that process is setting you up for the throughout your lifespan for this process of self-actualization. Actualized people tend to be problem-centered. They're not lollying around, playing around with this and that and the other. They're focusing on the real problem to solve it. And they're looking for a positive end, right? They're focused. Self-actualized individuals have a tendency to be autonomous. Now, there are some people who just can't make it without keeping up with a particular group or being validated by some association. You understand? They got to be with other people. But self-actualized individuals can work either with others, but most often autonomously by themselves. They think and they act on their own account, not based on what the crowd say or what's popular. Are you with me? We see some of these things happening. That's one reason so many people get caught up, is because they're trying to follow the crowd. And a lot of times the crowd don't know what they're talking about anyway. You better go get the answers for yourself. All right, let me go on. They enjoy solitude and privacy. In other words, time for them to not always keeping up with the party and the crowd and again, what's going on externally, but focusing heavily on the benefit of some quietness and peace and quiet and privacy so that they can be true to themselves. Self-actualized people tend to be able to show a little self-deprivation, laugh at their mistakes, and even smile when they're successful. You know, when you realize, oh, man, I messed up right there, you can laugh at yourself. You know what I mean? You don't feel guilty and shameful. You can look back on it and say, okay, I got that one. I got it. My bad, coach. That was my bad. Self-actualized people can be spontaneous. I talked earlier about flexibility when I was talking about the lifespan. And there are times in life when things come unexpectedly where you have to learn to adapt spontaneously. Because if you don't, it can overtake you, overwhelm you. See? And lastly, after the spontaneous aspect, self-actualized people, they focus not just on where they're trying to go, the destination, but they're able to appreciate the journey itself. In other words, I've got to work for this. It may be laborious. It may be longer than I want. I may have to have some delayed gratification, but the journey is just as important as where I want to be. In fact, I can appreciate getting to my end because my journey got me there. And the things I've learned, I've gained from that experience. Those are 9 characteristics of self-actualized individuals. Now, in contrast, when you have individuals who don't possess those characteristics, those qualities, they tend to look at everybody else and say, it's somebody's fault. I've heard, I was just talking to someone not too long ago, and somebody made the comment that society has failed a lot of young people that were wayward. You use the concept of the village. Take a village to raise a child. Well, in fact, beloved, the child don't get here without a male progenitor and a female progenitor. Huh? That's just nature. And what God intended is for both of them to responsibly take care of what they produce. What if they don't know what you're talking about, doctor? Then that's why there is a need for this type of guidance, this type of instruction, not in a demeaning, belittling way, but in a way that is informative. See, the problem is society, the law, government cannot control people's moral values. So there's a limited place or space for that to take place. Typically, that's in their spiritual context or religious practices where you are able to tap into the mindset in terms of the value base of things of nature. Value for learning, value for family, value for respect, and so forth. As we prepare to go to the phone line, 657-383-0944, that's the number to call. Well, this young lady right here just saying it. Just touch my spirit. Just for a second. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your old Reverend Doctor. 657-383-0944. Give us a call.
It will be over. And I have a brand new heart. When I rise, take the dust from my feet. Why not? And I pray, oh, 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 o
Southridge. This is your web boundary. 657-383-0944. That is the number to call. Give us a call here. Join us in that conversation. Talking from the topic. My life. My life. No joke. It's for real. Now, some people may think it's a joke. We're going straight to the phone lines, and we have in the studio with us now a regular caller from St. Louis, Missouri. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good. As you heard, we are talking point of view, recent conversations I've had with individuals. Some people are angry, and they feel like they're somewhat paranoid. Like people are making fun of them, and they think it's a joke that they're struggling. Well,
they're struggling.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and they would argue, St. Louis, that, shoot, I didn't ask for my life to be turned upside down last year, but it was. And in just a year's time, or 18 months, they don't know which way to go now, many of us. It's amazing, but that's where it is. Comment on it.
Well, their lives are going to be turned upside down worse if they don't fight back against these demands that's being put out there.
Okay.
By states,
mm-hmm.
by companies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, what did he say? He said that the NBA teams should fire the players that don't get vaccinated.
You know, that's interesting you say that. What was that young man saying? I heard a young player, I think he's 23 years old. I forget what team was a basketball player. I was really impressed at how articulate he was about explaining why he didn't want to be forced to take a vaccine. I mean, he did.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of, you hear a lot of these athletes, they don't speak very well. But this young man was well spoken, man. I was like, wow, that's refreshing.
But to go to show you the hypocrisy, when Trump said that teams should fire players that don't stand for the national anthem, he was called a racist and ridiculed.
Yeah, he sure was. That's true.
So
that's
why
true.
Come they didn't do the same thing with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? It's the same thing,
Uh-oh.
Practically.
Okay. I see what you're saying. You know, that's funny because early on, different ones were pushing President Trump to basically usurp executive authority over the whole United States. And he says, no, I'm not going to do that because that's a state issue to determine, you know, what type of mitigation measures they should have. And it's interesting how he wisely stood away from that because he understood that what we're seeing now, and that is in terms of the economic progress, you can see the impact of certain decisions from certain states versus others in terms of the lagging in the economy, basically.
Donald Trump said the right thing. That is a state's issue. And, you know, here's another thing, too. I don't know why come black people, and not all, mm-hmm. always look to the federal government for things that they are not responsible for doing. This George Floyd bill, that's not the federal government business
to deal in. Right.
But for some reason or another, they just ignorant, some or not all, they ignorant of how things work. And you know, the bad thing is that in their state, you'll have a congressperson like Sheila Jackson Lee, who's there in the 4th Ward in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
She represents that ward. And it's very, very high crime ridden. Well, she wants to pass a law in Congress that's going to cover the whole nation. Reuben, I don't have that problem where I live.
Okay.
So why are you passing a federal law that's going to affect me and make it difficult for myself, whenas I and millions of us don't have that problem? Address the problem that you represent in your ward. Leave me alone.
One of my readings this morning was from an incident in Chicago, St. Louis, where two fellas came onto the street in the Austin area, on the west side of Chicago, and just opened fire on the house, right? Apparently, it was two different gangs and some sort of gunfire, but they stopped shooting, right? And the fellas from the inside started shooting, and somebody died inside the house. Well, make a long story short, even the mayor was correct in this regard. She says they need to be prosecuted. Well, Fox up there, the district attorney, decided that because there was some battle between two people, that there was no basis for a charge. So she never charged the guy.
That's a black prosecutor.
If she was purple, that's silly, man.
But she's not. She's black. Let me throw you some relativity to that, because blacks have always been saying, we need somebody that look like us in these positions. Well, you got a black mayor, you got a black prosecutor in the form of Kim Fox, who wouldn't even prosecute Jussie Smollett for lying and said that some white people jumped on him when he got two Nigerian twins to do it. And then you got the second in command of the state of Illinois, Lieutenant Governor, a black female, the top cop in the state of Illinois, the attorney general for the state of Illinois, Mr. Muhammad, he's black. The secretary of state, he's black. The police commissioner, he's black. My goodness. And you still having these problems.
Well, I would argue that the issue is, I think I get the premise that you're working on, and that it is not the government's place to be responsible for individuals, right, and to become to help to ensure that they become actualized to a point that they have what they need in life. It is yours and mine and every other person's responsibility to produce for ourselves, right? Now, there was a time in American history where Jim Crow laws prevented them from doing that. In fact, they wouldn't, different people in various government positions were actually found guilty of doing that. But my point is, today, that's not the case. There's nothing stopping individuals from having what they want but themselves. And a lot of times, just a lack of knowledge that keeps them there. That's the challenge.
Yeah.
Resources are out there.
They're out there.
Go ahead.
But it just goes to show you that people just sell a lot of wolf tickets, come up with all kinds of excuses, and don't come forth with any substance. But where's everybody else? Bring them on.
I'm not sure. They haven't joined us just yet. But we want to let everybody know. Facebook, feel free to give us a call if you're following us. 657-383-0944. We'll be happy to take your questions and or your comments and share them and go from there. We're talking from the topic. My life is not a joke. It's for real. And I want to make it known that my intention is not to demean anyone who would say, hey, I struggle in life and I got problems. And that's probably true, right? The good news, though, is there's a way you can overcome that. There's a way you can meet success, but you have to define it. And that's one of the things I was pointing out in the monologue, and that is that self-actualization starts with a plan, right? It starts with you determining who you are, what you want to do, and where you're going. We're joined by 8112 out of Peoria, Illinois now. Welcome, 12. I know you just joined us. We're talking about my life is no joke. It's for real. And we're on with St. Louis right now. We've been talking about how people are struggling post-COVID, and they want someone to hear them and listen to them. But at the same time, it looks like some of these things that good people are doing is kind of comical, make you laugh to keep from crying. But it's not a joke. It's for real. How you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing better by the grace of God. You know, It's been a very long month for myself, but I'm still grateful, however. And yeah. I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in everybody's way, it's in my own way.
I got you. Okay.
Because my life to me has never been a joke, and I'm sure there's a lot of others out there that feels the same way. But different circumstances bring about different reactions with different ones.
Sure.
And these young people, some of them, not all, even the one that has to fend for themselves most of their life, some of them, they say their life ain't a joke, but realistically, they making a joke to a certain point. Because trying to heal themselves from pain with pain or by creating more pain.
Correct.
And this, I don't think, is good for any of us.
No, it isn't. So let me ask you this, 12. You're hitting the nail on the head here. Should we be open to positive criticism?
Sorry, I'm having a hard time understanding.
Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me okay now?
Better.
If we don't know 12, right, and we're slacking a little bit, should we be open then to positive criticism, constructive criticism? If somebody says, okay, doctor, wait a minute now, you got your right shoe on your left foot and your left shoe on your right foot, it don't look good. You too old for that. Should I be open to listening at least then?
Yes, I think people should, some don't know how to be open. Criticism to certain people is not constructive criticism. It's you trying to put me down.
Right. That's
and you're doing this and you're doing, but they're not thinking that maybe I'm doing this to help you.
Right.
Understand what you're going through. You're not alone, but when you're going through some things and you find yourself feeling alone, especially if you don't know the Lord. And some of us even that do know the Lord. And that's just a true story. And it goes all the way back to where I began it from, started with, circumstances bring about different reactions. And reactions in different people. Sometimes when you're older, you done been through certain things that you kind of more mellowed out at certain points about certain things. But young people now, most of them, a lot of them, and I'll start urban kids of all race, creed, and color, whatever their reasons were, may not have had the instructions, even if it was a single parent that they needed. And when they feel or thought they feel, maybe there wasn't somewhere mommy or daddy to grab a hold of them either way and say, I love you, it will be all right. We all are human. We all make mistakes. I don't care where you come from. People make mistakes because you are who you are, and that's a person before you are anything or anybody. Most people ain't born to be no millionaire. You got to crawl before you walk.
But now, wait a minute, 12. But you can be a millionaire if you do right now. If you follow a certain bracket, you can be a millionaire.
No, I didn't say you couldn't be anything in life, because I always taught my children they could be whatever they wanted to be. Despite my education, that was my mother's fault. That was my fault.
I got you.
Some kids have the guidance and don't listen to certain things. And they bump their head. And when you get tired of bumping your head upside the wall, you bump it the right way, you'll know, I didn't run and hit my head that hard again.
That's right.
And you'll try not to do that.
The thing, I felt really bad. That was the first and last time I let her have to do that. When my mama had to come get me from the police precinct. You know, it was 12 of us, you know. And that was rough. I felt bad about it. Man, I can't, if I ever get out there again in the streets, I definitely can't get caught because I don't want to go. I don't want to put her through this no more. You know what I mean? But it was just the idea that, you know, I said, hey, man, if I'm going to mess me up, that's one thing, but I don't want to, because it was, you know, I know I was a handful for a thing.
I had a brother like that, too. And get what, mama whooped his butt at the police station.
I admit. But, you know, that's one of the reasons, St. Louis, I was careful that I didn't let my friends get me caught up in stuff that I couldn't at least justify for myself. Because I can't go. I ain't going to put her through that no more. Come on.
Yeah.
That ain't cool. But now 12 in St. Louis, one of the things I talked about was the 9 characteristics of a person who's reached success or they become self-actualized. And one of them, 12, you talk to me about this, y'all talking, is putting first appreciation for the journey that you're on before wanting to get the reward and reach the end. I kind of use this analogy. It's like you can't appreciate the forest for all the trees. But you're in the forest. You just don't realize it. You know, that's the nature of the forest. There's trees out there. There are some people who focus more on the dream, on what they want in the end, than they do what it takes to successfully make it through the process or the journey to get there. What do you think about that?
I think that
go ahead. I'll go to St. Louis after you. Go ahead. You go ahead and start us off.
I think that seeing the forest before the trees, there's a struggle in most things that most people have to conquer and overcome before they reach the goal in their life that they set for themselves. And also, when you forget about where you come from, I think that's a problem.
Mm.
And your struggles. Mm. And how you had to get through things. And there's a lot of people do. Once they get where they want to be with stability in their lives, they forget about most of their family that helped them crawl before they walked.
Interesting.
Because when you forget who you are not who you are. You are what society expects of you. And the things that you try to change are still hidden deep down inside. And eventually, they may resurface, and then there's a lot of people that kill themselves behind things like that. But when you work hard and you know where you came from and where you've been, and you don't feel like you got to explain your life to anyone but God, then I think you are a successful person on both ends, and they both meet in the middle.
Okay. All right. Let me go to St. Louis for a second there as well. So, St. Louis, what do you think about that idea of making sure you don't get so caught up in the dream of getting where you want to be, that you be focused about doing what you have to do to get there? But what do you think about that, St. Louis?
Well, yeah, you're supposed to do what you have to do to get there. You're supposed to have a plan. It has to be laid out.
Okay.
If you work with your child, it's supposed to start early. Ain't no people are going to always have some excuses. But here's the thing. If you don't do what you just got through saying, well, you're going to have to move to the side. And people that have done the right thing, they the ones should benefit. I never did understand how you make way for those who choose to take an alternative and destructive path, rather than make way for those who walk the straight and narrow and keep their nose to the grindstone and take on the hard challenges, not mediocre, but the hard challenges. And too often you see a lot, especially amongst blacks, that take the easy challenges. That's why you have an overrepresentation of them in low-paying studies, low-paying majors.
Interesting. Well, I've seen that myself where people just went to school and they wanted to, especially athletes, this is the case with athletes, they take the easiest classes that they can, you know, so they can get through, they can play and be able to do their, you know, the eligibility to play and what have you. That's not everybody, but many of them, that was the case, where they wasn't really focused on a major, per se, or something that they were, because they were going to look at sports as their primary career. But if they get injured, I know a gentleman that played for the Vikings, as a matter of fact. And within the first season, he got injured, man. That ended his football career. That ended his football career. And so it happened, you know. But
and then these people, they don't have nothing they can fall back on. They can't. A lot of them can't read, write, can't do math, can't think from a cordial and a, you know, I can't think of the word that I want to use there, but they just have problems.
Yeah.
Unless you're extremely good.
Well, that's true. I was just telling St. Louis about a young man. I'm trying to think of his name. He was on, and he was very intelligently explaining why he didn't think it was right for, as an NBA basketball player, for the league to force him to take the shot. He said he had COVID already, and he had the antibody, and he said that they should be talking about that. And it was refreshing because, you know, I haven't heard too many professional athletes, especially basketball players, that were that articulate. And I don't mean to disregard him or any other athletes, but I was like, wow, this young man laid it down. And African-American male, should that matter? I mean, he very articulately explained and gave a reason why. He said, I don't have to, and it's not about me being anti-nothing or against nobody. This is a decision that I made for myself based on reason. I was like, wow, that's so. Again, 12, it kind of speaks to the fact that if an individual says they want something, right, and nobody's saying you got to know everything. I'm not suggesting you have to be a master of everything. But if you want something, it makes sense that you find out who's got that before, right? What did they do to get there? And I've heard you talk about this before, St. Louis. You were talking about the good son, if you will. What did the good son do to be good? And how can the not-so-good son model that and do that himself? That's a challenge, though, when people assume that if it ain't my parents, then it's got to be people, my pastor or people that I voted for or teachers or social workers, other people to decide what's best for me and make sure I get it. Well, the problem is you're subject to their will when it's that way. What about that, 12? Is that, if you
I
give
feel
up
like
your
this,
mind,
and I'm speaking for myself as I always do. And okay, if them want to listen, that's fine. I respect that too. I feel like everything that, what if they don't want to learn certain things? They got their own articulate way about doing their own things. They're master of certain things that's been instilled with them on their own, even if they learned it in the streets.
Right.
Everything works for everybody else. Books don't work for everybody, even though they may not get there. They're using mathematics like a brainiac with a 4.0. They're doing all these things. They're spelling things. They're counting money like they work in a bank, like they're a mastermind at it. They can flip out $1 million and tell you what's in their hand before they've counted it.
Something. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
And it takes some people that's so educated in books that they're dumb in certain things themselves. So, as we are human beings, who are we to prejudge anybody for how fast, how slow they learn, how they walk or talk? People have to be who they are. Life ain't about everybody being perfect, because I don't know a perfect man on earth or woman, boy, child, or girl, not one. And when somebody find we meet one outside of Jesus, And God, if you're able to holler at me, you got to prove that one to me.
Yeah.
Because,
well,
and I don't mean to sound hostile. I mean to sound aggressive about it because I feel passionate about it. But I'm not so passionate about it that I can't consider the ones that have struggled so hard to get where they are, and they deserve it. I always told my kids, man, don't work, don't eat.
Watch out, man.
As a mother, I work my tail off. Very hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
people struggle, and they work very hard, and I don't think just because they didn't reach the level that someone else is at, they have to bow down and be put down somewhat because they're not on high standards. You got people go ahead. I'm sorry, Pastor.
No, you're saying something. Let me lean in. Let me catch you before you get too far. You're making an interesting point, and you're saying that it's not necessary for everybody to basically take on the same profession, right, or do exactly the same. No, if we don't have no Indians, we got all sheep and no Indians, we're gonna follow. You understand? I think that's just what you're saying. But watch this now. Watch this. In society, 12, one of the things I don't like in education was the tracking system. We talked about this a little bit before. Because what happened was somebody decided who was going to take the courses that will have them competitive as doctors, engineers, as lawyers, nurses, and then everybody else just going to be menial factory workers. I didn't like that because somebody was determining what your life is. But I hear what you're saying, that everybody may not want to go there. But then you have to ask yourself, what would be available to me, 12, if I don't take advantage of higher-level learning that justifies higher-level wages and things of that nature? Does that make sense? That's what I wanted to ask you.
It makes sense. But I figured, like the young man you were speaking upon, he makes a lot of money, but he said, because they talking about firing nurses. I mean, yeah, and a lot of you ain't got to fire me. I quit. You would not make me. And what I said was this. They must know something that the outside don't know, because they're on the inside. He may feel like I feel about that. If you got these shots that was recommended, if you did what they recommended, why do I need to do anything else?
Okay, that's true. The bottom line is it's an individual choice, but I was kind of talking about in terms of, you were talking about everybody don't want to necessarily go to college and get book learning, if you will, master book learning.
How many children, Pastor, have said their parents, well, I'm a designer. I was watching Coming to America last night. The king and the queen decide the prince, when he turned 21, going to marry what they picked out. And he told her to bark like a dog. He like, no, you ain't for me. My point is, a lot of times, parents pick out all these lifestyles and career for their children. And some follow through with it, but it's, a lot of them do it because of their parents, and they want to make them proud and happy. Not a whole lot, I don't think, have the courage to try and want to deliberately disappoint them, even though they're disappointing themselves. So they're successful, but being successful and unhappy don't go together.
I get what you're saying. Now, that's interesting. Because my wife and I modeled certain expectations for both of our children, and that was that you work hard in school, go to college, get at least a bachelor's degree, right, and you work and develop yourself. And so far, neither one of them has done this, but you start a family and have children. Am I wrong for that? Is that?
No, you're not. But somebody else said may be able to bear fruit and have children don't necessarily mean that's what God said would happen.
No way, but that's what I want from them, though.
But it ain't only what you want. It's what they need out there, grown up now, on their own.
That's true. That's true. And neither one of them got, you know what I told them, St. Louis, I want some crumbs, not some grandbaby.
Well, you know, here's what the thing
but
is.
But it ain't too late, though, Pastor. It is not too late. But it will be their children. You will be the grandparent. And what you've already instilled in them, hopefully, even if they got their own certain little, you know, crumbs about how they want to raise their children, that's their right.
That's true, too.
Here's the thing, really. Kids are supposed to obey their parents. Mine did.
That's what the Bible says.
And grandparents are the ones that initially raised those kids, those grandchildren, because the kids are just kids. They never experienced that before.
Okay.
In a functional village, if you want to say that. See, there's a thing different between a functional village and just a plain old village.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have functionality based on tradition, that's the way it's supposed to do. My grandson is 23 years old. When he leave the house, you know what he tell me? Papa, I'm leaving. I'll be back such and such time. Papa, I'm going over here. Yes. I always have been like that. And I know some, but then you got some that don't even think about doing that. Well, that's their business. And when I was bringing up my daughter, his mama, I didn't let her play with just anybody because that stuff rubs off. And kids, you know, talk disrespectfully and be doing this, that, and the other. So you just have to protect your child. You just can't let your child go anywhere, play with anybody, and just like you just can't marry anybody. That's another thing, too.
Okay.
You got to talk to your son and tell him about these women that we have out here today, that's out there today, because they're going to go after him. Once they find out that he is responsible, he makes a lot of money, they're going to go after him.
Okay.
And you got some out there will try to trap him. So you got to instill into your son the precautions so they don't get caught up into that.
It does not take a man to do that.
Say that again, Swerve.
Oops. Okay. I said it don't take a man to do that because I got a son in the United States Navy. He made damn good money. He is very responsible, and he is loyal to his country. I'm sorry. I got another son. He's taking care of his children, him and his wife. I have another son that's taking care of his children, working every day, two jobs, 15 hours a day.
And
I have a son that's deceased, and I have another son that takes care of his kids when he gets the opportunity to. So, therefore, everybody's not going to walk the same path, but as your children, you love them the same, and you hope they take some of the things that you laid in front of them along the way and grab a hold.
Yeah. Well, you should give yourself credit for the success.
I'm not discrediting myself, sir. That wasn't what I was doing at all. I'm saying being a single mother, it does not, even though we might feel like it takes two people, we have a mother and a father. It may not be two in a lot of homes, and that's fact.
Yeah, we agree with that. Yeah, I
so therefore, if you got one, and some kids don't have any at home, they're living with other people.
Right.
Under different circumstances. My point is that for you to be successful, most people that are successful, not all, but a lot of them came from single family homes or they had two parents in the same house raising hell with each other constantly and they just wanted to get away.
Yeah. I think your point is well taken. The only thing here is the set of values and teaching those, whether you're a single parent or you have a two parent home. Now,
values are very important, sir. I understand that, and I instill values within them.
I know
that was because of my mother, though. I didn't just come born into this world. But my point was, when I said that, there's a lot of people didn't know that they learned their values from the street.
Yeah, okay.
They may have
sure.
learned it from
you know,
a neighbor's parent.
Okay, one second.
I was at the park today reading in my favorite spot. There on the base, on the ball field, there was a bunch of young black girls.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like a softball team.
Okay.
And you had nothing but women trying to instruct them. No men whatsoever.
Okay.
No men whatsoever. You wonder where the men at.
Yeah.
I started to go over and help them because what they was doing in one thing, I may next time. I don't know. I really don't like doing that. I had a friend, Baba San, you say. His son married a white woman.
Okay.
Him and his wife disowned him.
What?
Oh yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
What happened? What are the dynamics there that they disowned him?
They just didn't stand for that. I told my daughter don't bring home no Billy Bob. I told his grandson don't be bringing home no Miss Mary.
Wait a minute, Nat. St. Louis, wait a minute, Nat. Okay, all right. And so your point, though, is that because that was the family, the context of the family value,
been the value for a long time because it's not nothing new in many black households and black society. They tell say the same thing. So it's your you want your grandchild to look like you, sort of when you look at them. But that ain't nothing new. It was said at the dinner table. It's nothing new. But those were parents. You know that one movie, The Bounty Hunter. And the one actor, the dog,
okay.
he said
yep,
this. He
yep.
told his son that, and everybody called him a racist. Ain't no
what?
Racist cause he do that. That's his family. He can tell his children whatever he want to. You not tell them to go out there and rob nobody and shoot anybody.
Interesting. Well, now St. Louis. So
yes,
I've been actively involved in Freemasonry since 91, so that's been a long time, right? And I was the head of my lodge in 95. We had and the way it was in Tennessee is black and white Masons didn't fellowship, didn't interact with each other. But some of us worked with one another, and we interact with just didn't recognize one another publicly. Well, make a long story short, this past Saturday, man, we had a treaty signing with the white and black Masons across the state of Tennessee. It was a beautiful thing, I thought. And it didn't mean that the blacks or the white lost their sense of identity. You understand what I'm saying? Or to erase who they are, as it was that you don't have to be at odds with. You understand what I mean? Does that make sense?
Sure.
And so I do it. Go ahead. Let me let you.
No, I said sure. I understand what you mean.
And
yes, sir.
I guess I appreciate. There's nothing wrong with I don't expect that he would. I would assume that my daughter would try to find somebody as good looking as I am, and my son would want somebody like. I assume that 12. I assume. There I go assuming again, but.
Thing my kids can say, they ain't never had to be hungry. They ain't never had the lights cut off, the electric, the heat cut off. They never had the want for anything.
Well, they
and that's because the things we put in place. Matter of fact, I put food in other women's refrigerator and pantry so that when the Division of Family Service came by, and seeing that she had some food, they didn't take the kids.
Okay. I mean, that was a good thing, man. I mean,
it was one woman. She had a job, didn't have no way to get to. I bought her a car.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll forget that.
Okay.
But I've done so much stuff, I don't remember it all. People come up to me and thank me for things I don't know what they're thanking me for.
Here's the point, though, even today, you made a good point that there are things that have happened in the past that you set as a precedent for an example for your children and your grandchildren, right? And I really believe, Twell, that that's what collectively we ought to do. We ought to set a standard. We ought to hold them to account and expect them to be their best. We should expect them to be self-actualized. But that starts with knowing who you are, what your purpose is, you understand what I'm saying, and what your focus. Now, everybody may not be an engineer. Some people may be an agriculturalist, you know, or a violinist. I don't know. But what else? Give me something else, Twell. What else can somebody else do?
I'm going to give you this.
Okay.
Like I said. I'm going to say it again, whether y'all like it or not, with all due respect of y'all feelings about it as men.
We want to hear who
they are. They may not have to be an engineer and make big bucks. Everybody
right.
don't have to make big bucks to be comfortable in life.
That's true. That's true.
Everything
That's
is not about showboating. Even though you want your son to be an engineer, that may not be his passion. It's about your passion that comes from within you. And your parents ain't going to do the lead work because they figure they done the lead work by putting you through school. Some of them get scholarships or however they get it, they got it.
That's right.
It's about their passion, not yours.
Right.
You fulfill your passion, and that was teaching them the right way to go, even though you would disagree with a lot of things. And a lot of people make mistakes, including the parents along the way. Most parents want to feel like I raised a perfect household. That's a lie. I don't care how good it sounds when you're telling somebody else. If they ain't living in your house, hell, they don't know 100. But certain things we do show through our children, meaning
Absolutely.
The apple sometimes don't fall far from the tree, far as what's instilled within them. And sometimes you got an apple to unroll 3 blocks down the road from that tree.
Sure.
And I have my own way of speaking, like I always said. I don't speak all that fancy stuff because that's not my thing. I don't do all that. I speak from my heart.
Keep it 100. But look, 12, now, yes. When you give instruction, you have to stand back and allow people to use what they've learned. Sometimes they make a mistake, even in the process of practicing or demonstrating what they've learned. That don't make you a bad person because you understand what I'm saying? At least they have a choice because here's the difference, Twell. There are people in life who make either informed or uninformed decisions.
Yeah.
Right? And then some people make ill-informed decisions by following folk that don't know what they're talking about, too. But my point is that, in general, as a parent, the best we can do, there's no perfect parent. You're right. Absolutely. But the best we can do is to set some sort of standard and develop the character of our children on their path. And it's going to be up to them now. It's going to be up to them to do what they have to do. And you're not going to be with them 24/7. Wait a minute. Hear what the Bible. Watch what the Bible says. Now, see, this is where you got me right here. He said, train up a child, Proverbs 20 chapter, in the way that he should go. And when he gets old, he won't depart. That's what that gives me comfort right there. If I do my part and I set a standard for him, it's going to be up to him now. The prodigal son, he messed up, but guess what he realized when the pig was farting in his face? And he was in the big boo-boo on the ground. He said, I ain't got to do this. I ain't got to be out here like this. I was going, let me go back to the prison. You see what I'm saying, 12? Some people
I feel you, and I was raised up with the Bible. I can't quote and I ain't going to play like I can these days. I know who God is and Jesus personally for myself. And that's from me. Being raised like that. However, my point is, we keep talking about us, there's a lot of children these days, whether they was introduced or not, there's some that has never been introduced to these things. And for whatever
right.
their reasons, maybe they are afraid, because these days, it's been spoken of as well. You got so many people doing things in the name of Jesus, and they lying in the name of mighty
what?
Dollar.
What?
In the name of the mighty dollar. So, from what I understand, there's going to come a time you got to make the church in your heart.
Wow. Wow. Now, you're saying something now. You're saying something now. You ain't talking loud and not saying nothing. You're saying something now. Well, so, St. Louis, let me ask you this then. And I'm messing with you, St. Louis. I'm messing with you. Did you do all that for nothing, man, if your children and grandchildren come back to you and look like they just went down a primrose path? Do you feel like you've done it for nothing, St. Louis?
No, you never want to be at a point where you say, I wish I had her.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
No, you don't want to be at a point in the future where you say, I wish I had her. Just like you don't want to be in a point when you lose your wife, you say, I wish I could hug her just one more
right.
time.
Right. Cherish her while you got her. Just watch her. Yeah.
Absolutely. Whenever you leave the house, you hug her. When she leaves, you hug her.
That's one of my members told me that he was married to his wife for 64 years before he died.
Mm-hmm.
He says the way you stay married is if you get in an argument, well, he said, just go for a long walk. And when you come back, it'll cool off. But to come back and still hug and love her, and don't go to bed without telling.
And you see, you got to let your children see you do these things. I remember times I see a woman standing on the corner, look like she's trying to get food. So I'd circle around, go to White Castle, buy a big old 24-pack. I guess that's what they were, 36 or 24-pack. And size to go with it, go back and see it up there, give it to her. Now, what I would do is offer to take her home.
Yeah.
And we'd take her home and give her that food so she can go and feed her family. You model that. And we walked in the stores and seen wallets on the floor. Pick it up, go through it, had money in it, and try to locate the owner. And sometimes I was able to locate the owner. If not, I would give it to the manager.
Yeah.
So he
now,
see that.
That's a challenge that some people have. They say, look, I'm broke, and, you know, they dropped the finest keeper, losing weeks, you know. But that is a powerful value to say that even though I'm without, I'm going to give this individual what rightfully belongs to her. And there have been cases where people came to the border,
Hey, I've seen people sleeping, laying in the doorway, cold. I get out the car and get my favorite blanket that I use to lay on the ground when I want to work on my car and cover them up. Go on about my business.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's things that can be done, right? You don't know, and I think this is what 12 is saying, you really don't know what is going on in an individual's life individually, right? Even though, and I guess my point 12 is, there are some things that are universal to us all. We all have feelings. We all have needs, right? And there are certain things we got to do to meet those needs. That's just, you know, guard our feelings and what have you. Some people don't have it because their life is so upside down. And that's really what we're talking about. My life is not a joke. It's for real. That's a real struggle people have, you know? And some of them, we're not just talking about babies now. We're talking about some grown people, some musty folks. I mean, you can smell their underarms. That's it. And they still struggle with knowing how to, maintain themselves. So they rely heavily on social services, government, and everybody else to do for them. And I'm not saying that they're a bad person. I'm simply saying that there's a reason for that. And we can break that cycle with young people. And that seems to me that's what perhaps a good focus should be just to let people know in a loving way, hey, we don't want to keep that going. We want to stop that.
I don't think that the way to do that personally is by saying, okay, let's do it like this. Sometimes you have to not take your own personal self away, but you have to make them feel comfortable within themselves to trust you. Trust is a big thing.
You're right.
Enough that where they've gained the trust within you enough to believe that just maybe
right.
I can
right.
pull this off from listening to you. So
right,
if you
right.
have to be very careful about how you come at certain ones, and that's the truth. Because if you come at them in the wrong anger, you will find yourself breaking them down maybe where they felt they was already on top.
That's a good point. That is a great point that you're making. And, you know, you're absolutely right, 12. Now, some of our people, 12, now these are my people that I love to talk about. Some of our people, you got to be firm, you got to be fair with, but you got to be consistent. You tell them, no, we ain't doing that, man. Now, you know better than that. Come on, now. Why you do yourself? I remember when I was looking at the Muhammad Ali story, the documentary, and it talked about how Rudini was his, you know, his guy that was in the ring with him. And when the period that Muhammad Ali was not fighting, he wasn't making no money. And Rudini got drunk and sold Muhammad Ali's belt. Man, why you do that to yourself? I ought to hit you. But, we got to – 12, I agree with you. I'm not saying I disagree with you. I agree with everything you said. At the same time, though. Pastor Wallace, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Pastor Wallace?
Hey, Pastor Wallace.
Yes. Hey there, how you doing there? 8112, how you doing?
One day at a time, baby, one day at a time.
Yeah, that's good, that's good, very good. I'm glad that you're doing it. I know you have been going through some pretty strong issues, and believe me, God can handle the issues.
Oh, God can handle the issues.
I just want to encourage you that God can handle your issues, so I want you to be able to know that. That's
he can,
doctor can
I
share
do
with
know
me.
This. I was raised like that. God, and I've witnessed this for myself. He can handle anything.
Right. That's right. So you be encouraged. Pastor Malcolm was telling me about it, so I just want to let you know, continue to be encouraged, all right?
I thank you, sir.
Okay.
Pastor, our topic tonight is my life is not a joke, it's for real. And you laughed at me because my life is not a joke, it's for real. That's the topic tonight. And the background of that is some people struggle, Pastor. And some of my people, we look funny doing the things we do, man. And you got to wonder, are you for real, man? Kidding? Are you serious? So that's really what we've been talking about in jest. 12 has been laying some good things down. We're joined by St. Louis as well, by the way. St. Louis is online with us.
Pastor Dockery, you got a lot of background in the back. I don't know what it is, but it's overpowering your voice a little bit.
Pastor,
I was on the conference call.
Okay.
I didn't want her to say that loud, though. You know what I mean? I didn't want her to say that loud like that in front of the people, so I need to get you a brand new piece of paper. Anyway, you understand? Thank you, baby.
Okay. Sorry, Pastor Wilder.
Okay.
Hey, Pastor Wilder.
Hey, I'm on a conference call and everything. Hey, there, how you doing, Pastor Doctor?
Okay, good. I know you're out and about. I was going to let you wrap up what you were doing because we're getting the feedback on the area. But I'm not cutting you. Just come on. I'm coming right back here. I want you to wrap up. So St. Louis, when we were talking about being able to, really we were talking about delayed gratification, being able to understand that you got to crawl before you walk, and you got to put some work in to get what you want. Some of my people don't like that. They seem to think
that it should come right now because I've already suffered. I've already went without, and I don't want to wait no more. I want it right now because I deserve it.
Yeah.
I'm special. What about that, St. Louis?
Or they suffered doing the wrong damn thing.
What do you mean, St. Louis? What do you mean?
The things that they was doing didn't reap any results, so they continue to suffer. You have to be well aware of what it is that you're doing or going to do, and understand the risks, manage the risks.
Absolutely.
People don't know how to manage risks.
Everything comes with a risk, doesn't it? It's a risk to get up and go outside the house.
If somebody see 8112 walking down the street, follow her home, and say, well, I'm going to go over here and knock on her door 8 o'clock at night. Well, they risking it. They don't know who's going to come to the door. Might be some guy wearing a size 17 shoe.
If you knock on this door, they're going to get a big surprise. I'm a little bitty something. Unless they supposed to be here.
I was going to come knock on your door as well, man. I ain't messing with you, man. That's all right, man. Forget about it, man. and that makes sense, though. That makes sense that when I say risk, and I believe we agree on this thing, when I say risk, it's a chance that whatever you're striving to do, there may be some repercussions, right? There may be some other variables or factors that you have to wind up dealing with. And don't mean that you're not going to do it. You may not be able to come to it right then, but, you know, I know I've been knocked on my little behind a few times, you know what I mean? But just get up.
People has not set themselves up for anything but to get in their bed by the grace of God? And then even have from their own peers shoot them hopelessly down to death. What about some of the people just driving their cars, going to work, and going about their daily routine as they figure?
Yeah, that happens to us.
Have somebody of authority, so-called, to misuse their authority, pull them over, ask for their this and that, and they trying to find out, why did you pull me over? They have a right to ask that question.
Sure.
What about those people that not doing anything but trying to survive? I understand you talking about sometimes people go out there doing devilment. You got a lot of grown, thinking old folks doing devilment.
Yeah, you do. Sure do.
So bad things sometimes happen to good people. And sometimes good things happen to bad people. It's called life. You didn't create life. You cannot change everything from everybody. You can do your best work on earth. And I've done my best, and I can do no more, but I'll keep trying till the Lord say it's time for me to stop doing it. That's a good thing. You can't save the world because it's not yours. It don't belong to you to save. And most people ain't going to try to anyway.
Well, Twelve, I have a responsibility to try to encourage, to motivate.
I didn't say encourage. There's a difference between encouraging and being encouraged.
Okay.
If you are encouraging someone, that's because they feel the need that they want to accept that. But you can't, you can lead them to the water, but you can't make them drink. Some folks would rather die of thirst before they take that sip of water that you want to try to lead them to take that sip out of.
Why they acting like that, Twill? Why they act like that? What's up,
I don't have all the answers. I know what I've learned and what I've seen firsthandly. You can try to help people every day, and you cannot help someone that do not want to be helped.
That is, well, you preaching now. And see now, so when you take the stand that
like Bobby Womack said, Harry Hipper, I want to help you, Harry, but I can't help you if you want to stay on the ground. You understand what I'm saying? And some people try to make it look like Bobby Womack was putting Harry and his old girl down, but they need to get up.
They went and got him a woman, and they made a baby. And the woman went out there hustling for Harry. You got to be kidding me, Smalls.
Okay, well, let me ask Pastor Waller, you back with us, man? You back with us, Pastor?
Yes, sir. I'm here, brother.
Okay. I was going to ask you, man, what about... Yes, I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor Waller.
As I said, I'm here. I was in a meeting, but I'm stepping away now.
Okay. Can you talk now?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I was going to ask you, in this vein of thought, and I know you and I deal with people who have some tough situations, right? Is it unfair when people say to you, man, don't make fun of me, but you know what they're doing just don't make sense? You know what I mean? If you come outside with your shirt on backwards, can't nobody say nothing to you? You understand what I'm saying? That's your reality, but at some point, we got to do something. Go ahead, Ty.
Yeah. Well, it's called correction. You know, there's nothing wrong with correction. The person may not even know that. So,
right.
You know, if it was me, I would like for somebody to tell me, man, you know, your shirt on backwards. And then I can either say, oh, yeah, I already know it, or I appreciate it, but I'm already aware of it, you know, something like that. But, you know, because there's a thing called crisscross, you know, how they used to wear the stuff backwards and all that kind of stuff, man. So, but anyway, in the meantime, you know, it's good to know that somebody cares enough to say that, you know. And to each his own, I'm sure that's.
It takes a whole lot of different types of people to make this world go around. It's for a reason.
Here's the problem.
It may not be a problem for them, Pastor Dockery. It's a problem for you, maybe. Maybe me even. They might have want their stuff on back, but at least somebody stood up and said, man, your shirt is over. Like he said, I already know that. Maybe somebody going through some things and you try to show them or share with them. Maybe you got a spot on your pants, and they might cuss you smooth out.
That's right.
Why are you looking at my pants? I didn't ask you to look at my pants. What you looking at me for? Go look at your woman or your wife pants.
What? Look like you know what I'm talking about, Jerry. Look like you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I was going to make the point that people are afraid and apprehensive about, even when reasonably we should respond and try to look out for folks, you're afraid because you don't know how people are going to come off at you. You know what I mean? It's not that you don't want to be helpful, but you just don't know how folks will respond. And you don't want to put yourself in a situation where they come at you the wrong way and then you have to kind of get them up off of you. You don't want that. You just want to be helpful. And it breaks down stability in society. You see what I mean, 12? That's all I was trying to say. But these same individuals are the ones who constantly are engaging in behaviors and actions that make it difficult for everybody to get along in the social context in society. You know?
You're speaking of on statistics, sir, with all due respect?
No, ma'am. I'm talking about what I've lived.
Okay.
I've seen some of it today. And some of the things my people, I'm talking about my people now, some of the things my people do is just don't make no sense for nobody.
I have people and family come to my house. Get smooth on my nerves. Yes, I said smooth. It ain't that smooth, but it gets on my nerves. I try to correct, and then it goes to the point. And my point is this. Sometimes you try to correct people even in your own home because you love them.
That's right.
They'll get an attitude, turn it around, flip it upside down where they think they're right still. Then they want to disrupt your life because their lives is disrupted. And they don't want to hear what you got to say. And they know it's the truth. So
right.
I can't save, and I can't save nobody. I'm still swimming myself by the grace of God. So my point is, if you don't want to be here, just don't come here. I don't need you here upsetting me, and I ain't did nothing but help you the best I could. I'm busy trying to help myself as well.
Right. Don't bring the drama. You said don't bring your drama over here. I don't want your drama.
They'll do it anyway, and because you love them, you watch people trickle off, and the Lord done took them on, and you're thinking, oh, I try to help, but sometimes it gets to the point where your heart can only take so much of somebody else's problem, and you got your own going on. That's in life for anybody. People say they don't have no problem. That's a lie. I wouldn't believe it if I came in their house and they allowed me to stay a whole week. And I didn't say one word out the way or do anything out the way, I would probably see, because I know humans have their differences even behind the closed doors.
Well, can I use this example? This is not a statistic. This is a real deal. As a
All
pastor
right.
now, there was a certain church member. I love him, you know, and I think she loves me now. Every week, nobody else was having a problem. Nobody else being drama queen but her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else just talk about her behind her back. And so, you know, as pastor, it was my responsibility to address that as a problem, right? So we, you know, as listen, man, come on now. You know all these folk around here. And because you do. Look at what you're doing. This is coming at you. What you be? You think normal? She recognizes it. No. I said, well, what you got to do is you got to realize that you share this place, this little community with other people. And while you got a right to be upset or feel the way or do what you do, it has an impact on other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as your spiritual leader, as your pastor, it's my duty, my responsibility to let you know that. She appreciated that, and it got better, but my point is that if I just took the stand, well, I ain't going to say nothing like everybody else, right? Eventually, it would have blew up and became a real problem. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. It would have been tucked away.
And it could have blew up at the wrong time.
There you go.
Between everybody else, you know. And so sometimes, even our family members who are close people to us, we know that they're wrong, and the most loving way you can, you got to let them listen. Either you check your behavior or take that somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It's not acceptable.
Hmm.
We don't do that. One of the things I told both of my children is I visit jails for people in ministry. I don't visit jails for my children. If you fool around and go to jail, you're going to have to live there. Go on, lay down. And I love you, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't do that. So stay out of jail. I mean, now, if you have a legitimate reason, that's a different story. But, you know, behave yourself and you don't have to worry about jail. But, you know, that's some of where that is. And it's about really proactive training. That's one of the things we talked about in the monologue. When you set a goal for yourself, you've got to be careful not to let other things and people distract you, steer you away from your focus, right? One of the characteristics of a self-actualized person is to be problem-centered. You're focused on what you're doing. And sometimes that calls sacrifice, doesn't it, St. Louis? Isn't that a sacrifice oftentimes? You know, for instance, you're in college, for instance, and everybody don't go to college. But you're in college and you got to study. You can't afford to be out partying, having fun like this, because you got work to do. You came there for that work.
Yeah, you can't be out there doing that, and you don't want to be out there disturbing somebody else, distracting them.
Right.
Because when you don't have anything to do with your own time wisely, then you're going to want to go messing with somebody else, talking about what's up and all that stuff. These people got work to do. They ain't got time to be fooling around with you, wasting time.
Yeah, that's the truth. I mean, I saw a report of the University of Arizona, I believe it was, albeit they were in their study. And two young ladies approached an African American, told them that, "You're making me uncomfortable." He said, "What? I'm trying to study."
Them girls was acting out as a racist.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and the point is that, my goodness, this is a college, a public institution. Go sit down and study. You won't have to worry about what I'm doing if you take care of you.
I understand it, but they was acting out in a racist manner.
That's true.
Even though they was black. And the victim was white. Yes.
Two of them.
So you got to call. We have to call things the way it is. Racism has nothing to do with skin color. It's about the act. It's the act. Just like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said that teams should fire these players that don't take a shot. Nobody called him a racist. But when Donald Trump said it, that teams should fire the players that don't stand for the national anthem, everybody called him a racist. Mm-hmm. So that's the problem with people, which consists of the country. Their actions is being played out, cause all of us to have these problems.
Okay. Yeah, and so when the government assumes that role, St. Louis, to where they're dictating to you what you're supposed to do, or you understand when they're going to control your behavior, that's where the problem comes in. Because
That is a problem, because federal government has no business doing those things. They don't have no, like Peoria said, they recommend it. All they can do is recommend. They can't make.
Right.
But people don't understand the difference between recommend and mandate. They really can't mandate.
Right.
Federal government has no authority telling you you need to take what you need to wear. They have no authority to do that. But what they do, they intimidate. And then they get others to do it. Others can't imply a law on you that's more stringent than what the government can do.
Right.
So they out of order too. When you sign on with that company and you sign the contract, there's nothing in the contractual language that you got to do this or you got to do that other than what you agreed to.
Yeah, that's the issue right there, is that it wasn't something that was a condition of my original employment. This is, you know.
Absolutely.
And let me just say, I do understand the good-hearted individuals who are trying to keep everybody healthy and safe. I get that. But there's a limit to that. Like 12 was saying, now, you can't make nobody do nothing. If I want to, you know what I mean, if I want to walk backwards and fall and bump my head, as much as you don't want to see that happen. You know what I'm saying? You can't make me do nothing now when you're grown. So, but there should be, I hope y'all would agree, responsibly, though, there are measures that we all can take because we care. It's not that you don't care. And that's what I was saying. A lot of people are really afraid to say anything at abnormal behavior because they don't know how they're going to take it.
They don't know how. You're absolutely right. They didn't learn it. They did learn how, and they didn't learn how to base their argument. You got people that's walking around now, they might as well be blindfolded.
They blindfolded. What?
They might as well be blindfolded. It's sad to say, But when you think about it, logically, that's exactly how they acting out.
Yeah.
You know what? They're crying out for help. And 31 don't recognize that they are crying from the inside, outside. And through their actions and their emotions and their heartfelt tears, a lot of people just don't even try, as far as they're concerned, to understand that.
Yeah. Well, that happens too. That happens too.
That's real.
That they're
A lot of people that's doing okay by the grace of God understand. You got so many people out here that actually want some instructions. They actually welcome someone to say, "I love you." I love you is a powerful word, but people use it every day. You got pastors on TV all the time talking about in the name of Jesus, and the Bible said, and I believe in the Bible, and God forgive me, Lord have mercy, if I ever disrespect. I'm not doing that. So when I said what I said, I meant exactly what I said. I may not phrase it the way others get it, like they get it. I got it.
Okay.
What you know about that, Ruben?
People hurt every day. And all these things going over, they making people feel good because they throwing them a few dollars. That ain't going to mean nothing. Now they saying some of them got to pay that back.
What?
Really? They going to pay? Excuse me, Pastor. But what they going to pay it with? They done spent that Israel garner. They waiting on the next one if you're giving one. I ain't got none. And I ain't worried about that because I ain't missed a beat one time by the grace of God.
Oh, I get you.
I tried to get it. I ain't going to tell no lie.
What? Well,
I did try real hard. It must have not been meant for me. Everything that somebody else get ain't meant for you.
That's true.
Everything
that's true.
Somebody else do is not meant for you to do. Everybody's success. You don't have to begrudge nothing nobody have. I don't anyway.
Oh, ma'am. No,
so
ma'am, be don't.
I'm grateful for the things that I have. It may not be fine enough for you, but it's good enough for Ms. B. Understand?
That's all that matters. That's all that matters to me.
If you don't want to be a part of this palace, it's my palace. It may not be nothing but a shack to you, but it's my palace. And God gave it to me, and you can't take it away. And I'm grateful for that, too. And a lot of people, young and old, feel like that. If you live in deserts, man, excuse me, I know I'm talking a little bit, but there's a man that used to be in Peoria, and he killed birds. He used to be in the service. The man had big bucks. And he walk around asking for change. We call him Babe Bruh. And he's been around ever since my kid with little bitty babies. He used to get a pee out of them, excuse me again. And this man, when he died, they built a billboard in his honor. He threatened to blow up the police station. He threatened to blow up the wire. He did all kind of crazy stuff. We called him Baby Brother. That wasn't his real name. That was his street name.
I get you.
Peoria, Illinois, built a billboard, and whenever he did what he was doing, he was like what people call a bum. This man had the highest education most folks didn't have.
Okay.
He had money, and he was asking for change from folks. So that's what I'm saying. Because appearances don't mean it is what it is.
I get that. Well, Tom, let me respond to a St. Louis question. St. Louis, when I think about, and because it was kind of talking about what you were talking about, when I think about the balance between the church and the reality, I think about Ernest Gaines. It's a fiction book, but it was a lot of real to it. A Lesson Before Dying, you may be familiar with it, where this young man was accused of murder, and his mother, the defense
was trying to get him off by saying he's just a hog. Don't kill him. He ain't but a hog. And his mother wanted him to know that he was a man before he died, because he got a death sentence. So she tried to get the preacher to go in and teach him about that. And the preacher just couldn't get it, man. He was used to, and then so she called the black teacher to come and teach him about manhood. And so she had a impasse where she told the preacher, he says, why you got him going in there telling him all that secular stuff? She says, well, maybe some of what you're saying is not working, and some of what he's saying, we need a little bit of both of them. So that's what that's it. We got to need a balance, I think.
Well, you see what time it is, don't you?
Yeah. Do you mean that?
10 minutes to 9.
I mean, you got one.
Yeah. See, Peoria came on here and talked to you and made you forget about the time.
You got 1 minute, St. Louis.
He messing with you now, St. Louis. But okay, yeah, great conversation. Thursday we're gonna have a repeat show. It'll be on, but it won't be a live show. But it'll be one of our better shows that we had. So I'll be traveling for business purpose, so we won't be here Thursday night. But it will be a show on if you want to hear one of our previous shows that we've done there.
Okay, can I go out with Professor?
Yeah, go ahead. You got to leave me?
I won't be on there Thursday because
okay.
I'm be trying to do some other things, I believe. My point is,
okay.
I thank y'all, and I enjoyed it tonight. It kind of took my mind off certain other personal things.
I'm glad to hear that.
And I appreciate you guys, and I love you guys, and I thank you so much. I'm going to try to stay on here to listen to the other 8 minutes, but I don't have anything else to say.
Well, we appreciate you. We appreciate you for joining us there. We're probably going to wrap up here. Say hello, did you have a final thought there? Pastor Waller had to go. Apparently,
tell her to continue to be sweet.
Okay.
Better to be sweet than to be bitter.
Watch out, man. Hold
on. I ain't hung up yet. Bitter I ain't. Check that out, St. Louis. You knew you was going to get a respunk. I ain't told nobody I hung up. I said I was going to try to hang on. Now, bitter. I am not a bitter black woman nor scorn. I'm good. But thank you so much for trying to throw out a good shout out anyway. But bitter I'm not. So let's get that straight. Thank you, sir. Have a blessed week. The rest of the week, and God bless you all. Now, still try to listen.
All right. Well, we appreciate that. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up there. Thank you, guys.
Rev, how your son doing? You said he was going out someplace to look at a factory that was closing down to see if any of the stuff that was available could be used.
He's on the road a lot here the last 2 weeks. He would come back, and then he sent him back. I think they'll be finished with the move late November, early December. So that's been his job, is to go there and keep up with it. So he's been doing a lot of traveling. He's doing a little bit of traveling.
Well, that's good.
It'll put some hair on his chest. It ain't gonna hurt.
The experience is always well received.
Absolutely. So, but yeah, we appreciate you asking. They maintain.
Mm-hmm.
But
anyway, I'm gonna get off of here.
Yes, sir. And we're gonna wrap up for tonight. Thank you for joining us, and as well, Fiora. And we'll see you guys next week, perhaps.
Good night.
All right. And so you've been listening to Talk Straight. Tonight we've had a great discussion with the topic, My Life is Not a Joke. It's for real. And each of us have real situations that we confront, we face. The good news is that there's yet hope. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. I'm going to let this young lady take us home tonight for the rest of the time here
And as she sang this song here, bless her heart, she touched me with it. And I just want to share it with you. This is your host, Pastor Reuben Dockery, with Talk Straight. With Talk Straight. And we appreciate, again, the opportunity to engage everybody in these substantive conversations. We'll see you next Thursday for another episode of Talk Straight.
I'm going home.